Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, December the 27th. We are going to be going into the first book of Kings, chapter 6 and 7. And this is all construction details of the temple that Shlomo, that's Solomon, built. There are a bunch of dimensions and cubits, and I'll be giving those to you in feet and inches and such, because they're pretty confusing. And we don't need you to get confused. The cubit in chapter 6 and 7 is the shorter Egyptian cubit of 17.6 to 18 inches, plus or minus. The head builders on construction projects back then each had their personal measuring rod close to these specifications. And that was they kept them in a case, and it was a very prized instrument. So it's like a ruler, a really good quality ruler is in construction today. They didn't have those, but they had these measuring rods with little notches filed in them. The terminology used to describe items used in the temple and the decorations of the structure are the same as in Leviticus. So I went over that when I did the book of Leviticus on the air. So let's get right into chapter 6. This is a shorter chapter than chapter 7. It's 38 verses. And it's pretty much technical. But there's some good information in here, which you might find interesting. Verse 1, it came to be in the 480th year after the children of Israel came forth from the land of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, that's Solomon, over Israel, in the month Ziv, or Ziv, Zoo, it's Ziv, I believe, 2099, and that is April and May, about the middle of April to the middle of May, and that means brightness, as in bright flowers in the spring, which is the second month. The first month is Abib, that's the month of the greening of the ears, that he began to build the house of Yahweh. Verse 2. The house which Shlomo built for Yahweh, the length of it was 60 cubits, and a cubit is 520 amah. And 60 cubits is 90 feet. And the width of it, 20 cubits, and that's 30 feet. And the height of it, 30 cubits, which is 45 feet. The porch before the nave of the house, and the nave is the entire body of the structure from the back of it to the front door, and the porch is additional on the outside, not counted as the nave. 20 cubits was the length of it. That's 30 feet. Upon the face of the width of the house, that was the porch, was the whole, as wide as the whole temple. And 10 cubits, that's 15 feet, was the width of it upon the face of the house. It was 10 feet deep, okay? Or 15 feet deep, pardon me. Verse 4, for the house he made windows 2474, whose frames 8261 were narrow. 331. They weren't big, broad windows. They were little, narrow windows. Verse 5. He built against the outer wall, and that is 7023, of the house, side chambers 3326, upon the side chambers 3326, all around 5439. In other words, he stacked them. Three stories of chambers, okay? Verse 6. The lowest side chamber was 5 cubits wide at 7.5 feet. The middle was 6 cubits wide, that's 9 feet. And the third was 7 cubits wide, which is 10.5 feet, because outside of the house he made recesses, 4052, all around, so that nothing was held by the walls of the house. And held by is 270. So these outside chambers were self-supporting. And they were used basically for the quartering of the workers that worked in the temple, all the Levites. Verse 7, the house and building was built of stones completed in the quarry, so no hammer, 4717, nor axe, 1631, or any instrument, 3627, of iron, 1270, was heard in the house during the building. Because it would be clang, 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 and they'd be doing a whole bunch of stones, and it would drive you crazy. Verse 8. The entrance for the middle 8484 chamber was toward the right side of the house, and winding stairs, that's 3883, ascended to the middle chamber, and from the middle to the third. So they had winding staircases going up to the second level and up to the third level. Verse 9. So built he the house and completed it and paneled 5603 and paneled the house with gebim 1356 and Sederoth 7713 of cedar. Now, 1356 and 7713 are technical terms, and the meaning has been lost. So we do not know what these things of cedars were. Verse 10, he built side chambers against all of the house 5 cubits high. That's 7.5 feet high. And they were held on the house with timbers of cedar. So this is a very involved construction project. had to clear the pipes there. Verse 11, the word of Yahweh came to Shlomo saying, regarding this house that you are building, if, 518, that makes it conditional, if you walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and observe all my commandments to walk in them, then I shall fulfill my word to you, which I spoke to David your father. Verse 13. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. And that has that big two-letter word, if, in there. Verse 14 of chapter 6. So Shlomo built the house and completed it. 15, he built the walls of the house of ribs, 6763, of cedar, 730, from the floor, 7172, of the house, and the walls of the ceiling, 5604, were overlaid, 6823, with wood, 6086, on the inside, and overlaid, 6823, the floor of the house with ribs of fir, different wood, 1265. And that is Beroshim, and some translations have Cyprus. Now, to me, the floor needed to be hard and durable, so Cyprus seems more likely because fir is very soft wood. Beautiful wood, but soft. So in my opinion, and only my opinion, I would lean toward the cypress, okay? Verse 16, he built 20 cubits from the far end, 3411, of the house, both the floor and the walls with ribs of cedar. He built for it within the house for the Holy of Holies, for the Most Holy, 6944, doubled. And verse 16, you can reference Exodus chapter 26, verse 33 and 34. Verse 17, the house, that is the temple, 1964, before it was 40 cubits, that's 60 feet. Verse 18, the cedar within the house was carved with knobs and open flowers. All cedar with no stone seen. Verse 19, the Holy of Holies he prepared in the middle of the house inside to set there the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. Verse 20, the Holy of Holies in the forepart was 20 cubits in length and 20 cubits in width and 20 cubits high. It was a cubicle. And he overlaid it with pure, 5642, gold, 2091, and overlaid the altar of cedar. Verse 21, Shlomo overlaid the house within with pure gold. He made to pass across, that's 5674, with chains of gold before the Holy of Holies, and he overlaid it with gold. Verse 22, the whole house he overlaid with gold until he completed 8552 all the house. The whole altar that was before the Holy of Holies, he overlaid with gold. And verse 22, you can reference Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Verse 23, within the Holy of Holies, he made two cherubim, and that is C-H-E-R-U-B-I-Y-M. Or K-E-R-U-B-I-Y-M, 3742. It can be spelled both ways. Of olive wood, 10 cubits high. And verse 6, or chapter 6, 23 through 28, you can reference Exodus 25, verses 18 through 20. Verse 24, 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. From the tip of the one wing to the tip of the other were 10 cubits. Verse 25 of chapter 6. The other cherub was 10 cubits. Both cherubim were of one measure, 4060, and one size, 7095. Verse 26. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so of the other cherub. Verse 27. He set the cherubim in the midst of the inner house, and the wings of the cherubim spread out so that the wing of the one touched one wall and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. Verse 28. He overlaid the cherubim with gold. Verse 29. He carved all the walls of the house all around with carved figures, 4734, of cherubim, palm trees, open flowers, within and without. It was very decorated. Verse 30. The floor of the house he overlaid with gold, within and one and without. Verse 31. For the entrance of the Holy of Holies, he made doors of olive wood. The lintel, 3-5-2, and doorposts, 4-2-0-1, had 5-2-5-4-9 columns. Verse 32. The two doors also were of olive wood, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, overlaid with gold, and beaten, 7286, gold upon the cherubim and upon the palm trees. Now, Shlomo didn't do this work. He had it done. So when they say he made, well, he didn't. The workman made it by his direction. Verse 33. So also made he for the door of the temple posts of olive wood of 4-7243 columns. Verse 34. The two doors were of fir wood. That's softer and lighter than the cypress. Cypress is very heavy. The two leaves, 6763, of one door pivoted 1550, and the two leaves of the other door pivoted. They were on hinges, and the door folded back like a folding door in your house. They folded back on each other on hinges. Verse 35, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers overlaid with gold. Pardon me for a second here, I've lost my breath. Ah, there we go. Laid smoothly, 3, 4, 7, 4, upon the carved work. In other words, very shiny, very smooth gold. No wrinkles in it. It was gold leaf is what it was. Verse 36. He built the inner courtyard with 3 rows of hewn stone and a row of hewn beams, 3773, of cedar. In the 4th year, the foundation was laid of the house of Yahweh in the month Ziv. Okay. They had to build foundation on up. Verse 38, and in the 11th year, in the month Bul, 945. Now, here we get into some bad stuff. That's middle of October and middle of November, and it's also called Cheshvan. Bul, B-U-L, 945, was a Canaanite moon god. So they've got a pagan god's name on a month there. A lot of the months have pagan names. Which is in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, and was the house finished in all matters and plans, 4941, that's manner or ordinances or judgment of it. So he was 7 years in building it. Okay, that's a big project with swarms of workmen that they had working on this thing. Ah, coffee. So let's get into chapter 7. Verse 1. And his house built Shlomo for 13 years. That was his personal dwelling. And he completed all his house. Verse 2 of chapter 7. He built the house of the forest of Lebanon. In other words, wood from the forest of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. It was a house of cedars. The length of it was 100 cubits, that's 150 feet. And the width of it, 50 cubits, that's 75 feet. And the height of it, 30 cubits, that's 45 feet high. Upon 4 rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. Now see, cedar wouldn't rot. It would burn, but it wouldn't rot. Verse 3. It was paneled with cedar above upon the beams that lay upon 45 pillars, 15 in a row, 2905. With windows, 8261, in 3 rows, and window, 4237, was toward window in 3 occurrences, 6471. Now the windows on either side faced each other. Three rows of windows. Verse 5, all the doors and doorposts were square. And the front of one window was toward another in three occurrences, like it said in the verse before. They repeat a lot in Hebrew. Verse 6, he made a porch of pillars. The length of it was 50 cubits, and the width of it 30 cubits. And the porch was upon the front of them, and the pillars and the ab, 5646, was in front of them. Now, 5646 is an unknown architectural term. We don't know what that is. So I just gave you the Hebrew for it. Verse 7, he made a porch for the throne where he might judge, the porch of justice, and paneled it with cedar from floor to floor. Verse 8, his house where he dwelled had another courtyard within the house. The porch was of like workmanship. Shlomo also made a house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as a wife, like this porch. And verse 8, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 9, all of these costly stones, hewn according to measure, sawn with saws, inside and outside, from the foundation to the Tefakoth, 2947. That's another unclear architectural term. Perhaps it's coping, but we don't know. So I'm just giving Tefakoth. And on the outside, toward the great courtyard. Verse 10, the foundation was of costly stones, great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. That's 15 feet and 12 feet. Now when they say costly stones, it cost a lot of labor to make them, and they were worth a lot of money because they were smoothly sawn and polished. They weren't rough, clunky stones. Verse 11, and above were costly stones, measured hewn stones, and cedars. Verse 12, the great surrounding courtyard had three rows of hewn stones and a row of cedar beams for the inner courtyard of the house of Yahweh, and for the porch of the house. Verse 13, King Shlomo sent and fetched Hiram 2438 from Sor. Now, this 2348 is a different man from the king in chapter 5. This is a workman. Same first name, but it was a different man. 14. He was the son of a widow woman of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father, a man of Sor, an engraver, 2790, of bronze. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and knowledge of working in all works in bronze. He came to King Shlomo and did all his work. In other words, this guy was a master craftsman in the casting of bronze and the engraving of bronze. A man of great value in those days. Verse 15, he fashioned, 6696, two pillars of bronze, 18 cubits high, that's 22 feet, each one. a measuring line of 12 cubits went around either of them. That's 18 feet around in circumference. That's big. Verse 16, he made two capitals, 3805, of cast bronze. Now those are a crown for the top of the pillar, and they were cast separate from the pillar to sit on them. He made two capitals of cast bronze to set upon the tops of the pillars. The height of the one capital was 5 cubits, that's 7.5 feet, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. Now imagine lifting those heavy things up. They had a lot of manpower and a rigging and wooden cranes and stuff that they made to put all this stuff up. Just getting that those pillars to stand up straight was probably a horrendous job. Verse 17, net ornaments. 7638 combined with 7639 of work and festoons, 1434 of chain, 8333 work for the capitals that were upon the top of the pillars, 7 for the one capital and 7 for the other capital. In other words, they had ornate stuff hanging from them. Verse 18, he made the pillars and two rows all around upon the one network to cover the capital that was upon the top with pomegranates, 7416. Those are carvings of pomegranates, okay? And so he did with the other capital. Verse 19, the capitals that were upon the top of the pillars in the porch were of lily work, 7799, 4 cubits. In other words, they had carved lilies all over them. Verse 20, the capitals upon the two pillars had pomegranates also above, next to the bulge, 990, and that's 990 is beten. That literally means belly. And the exact meaning is unclear here. So it just says next to the bulge, which was beside the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows all around upon the other capital. Verse 21. He set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, 1964, and he set up the right pillar and called the name of it Yakin, 3199. That means he will establish. And he set up the left pillar and called the name of it Boaz, 1162. Possible meaning here is in strength. So when they were both set up, that's unsure. It may have meant he will establish in strength. And verse 21, you can check 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 22, and upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So the work of the pillars was finished, 8552. Now here's verse 23, and you can reference verses 23 through 50 is identical with all of 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Verse 23, he made a cast sea. That's where they put water so they could wash, okay? 10 cubits from one brim to the other brim, and it was round all about. And its height was 5 cubits, and a measuring line of 30 cubits surrounded it round about. It was 45 feet around. That's big. Full of water. Verse 24, from under the brim, 8193, encircling it, were knobs, 6497, surrounding it. 10 in a cubit, surrounding the sea all around. The knobs were cast in two rows when it was cast. Verse 25, it stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking seaward, 3220, and that would be west toward the Mediterranean Sea, 3 looking south, and 3 looking toward the sunrise, 4217, that would be east. And the sea was set from above upon them, and all their back parts were inward. That's 1004. And they were all looking outward. Okay. Verse 26. It was a hand breadth, 2947, thick, 5672, and the brim of it was wrought like the brim of a cup. 3563, with flowers, 6525, of lilies. It contained 2,000 baths. That's 1324. That is a liquid measure. That's plus or minus 40 liters of liquid. And they filled it with water so the priest could wash. Verse 27. He made 10 bases, 4350, that's Mekonoth, of bronze. 4 cubits was the length of one base, that's 6 feet, and 4 cubits the width of it, and 3 cubits the height of it, that's 4.5 feet. Verse 28, the work of the bases was as this. They had borders, 4526, and the borders were between the joinings, 7948. And 4526 is Miskaroth, and that's rims, basically. And the joinings, 7948, is Shalabim as frames. Verse 29. On the borders that were between the joinings were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And upon the joinings was a base above, and from under the lions and oxen were loyoth, 3914, that's another unknown term, of descending, 4174, that's morad, work. So we don't know what loyoth were. Verse 30, every base had 4 bronze wheels and axles, 5633, of bronze. And the 4 feet, 6471, of it had supports, 3802. Under the laver, 3595, that's where you wash at, were supports cast from the side of every loyoth again. We don't know what a loyoth is. Verse 31, and the mouth of it within the capital and above was a cubit. But the mouth of it was round like the work of the base, a cubit and a half, and that's 27 inches. And also upon the mouth of it were engravings, 4734, with their borders. 4 square, 7251, not round. Verse 32. And under the borders were 4 wheels, and the axle trees, 3027, that's literally hands, and that is as support of the wheels joined to the base. And the height of a wheel was a cubit and a half cubit. Verse 33, And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. That's 4818. Their axle trees and their rims, 1354. And their spokes, 2839. And their hubs, 2840, were all castings. Verse 34. Four supports to the four corners of one base. And the supports were from the base itself. Verse 35. In the top of the base was a round band, 5439, of a half a cubit, that's 9 inches, high. And on the top of the base, the supports of it and the borders of it were the same. So a lot of replication is going on here in the construction of these items. Verse 36, on the plates, 3871 of the supports, that's the plates made of metal, and on the borders of it, he engraved cherubs, lions, and palm trees, according to the clear space, 4626, of each one. This is 376. It's an odd use here, but it is permissible. And loyoth, again unknown, round about. Verse 37, like this he made the 10 bases. All of them had one casting, one measurement, one size. Verse 38, then he made 10 lavers of bronze. One laver contained 40 baths, that's liquid measure. Every laver was 4 cubits, and upon one of the 10 bases, one laver. Now, verse 38, you can reference Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 21. Verse 39, he put 5 bases on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. And he set the sea, that's the great big dish, on the right side of the house eastward, 6924, on the forefront of the south. Verse 40, Chiram, that's the workman, not the king, made the labors and the shovels and the basin. So Chiram completed doing all the work that he made King Shlomo for the house of Yahweh. They used the shovels to shovel ash into buckets. Verse 41. The two pillars and the globes of the capitals that were upon the top of the two pillars and the two networks to cover up the two globes of the capitals which were upon the top of the pillars. Verse 42. 400 pomegranates, that's carved pomegranates, for the two networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for one network, to cover the globes of the capitals that were upon the face of the pillars. Verse 43, the 10 bases and the 10 lavers upon the bases. This is a listing of what he made. Verse 44, 1 sea, and the 12 oxen under the sea. Verse 45, the pots, the shovels, the basins, and all the vessels, which Chiram made for the king Shlomo for the house of Yahweh, of polished, 4803, bronze. They made mirrors out of this because it's tin and brass. That's very strong, a lot stronger than copper or brass itself. It's the next thing to steel. And you could polish these things to high reflectability. You could make mirrors out of it. Verse 46, in the round, 3603, of the Yarden Valley, now that's the territory, the round, the king cast them in the clay ground, Clay is 4568. And the clay ground between Sukkoth 5523 and Sarathon 6891. And verse 46, you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 17. You have to cast bronze in clay because the clay form will hold its shape, and things that big, they couldn't build a form that would handle that weight. So they cut the form out of the clay ground. That was the easy way to do it. Okay. Verse 47. Shlomo left all the vessels unweighed is inserted because weight is coming up, so it's inferred here. So it actually says Shlomo left all the vessels and unweighed is implied because they were exceedingly many, nor was the weight, 4948, there's the weight, of the bronze sought. In other words, they didn't try to find out how much it weighed. So that first weigh, unweighed, is implied by the rest of the passage. Verse 48, Shlomo made all the vessels that were for the house of Yahweh, the altar of gold, and the table of gold, upon which was the bread, 3899, of the presence, 6440. It's also called showbread in some Bibles. And verse 48, you can reference part A, Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, and part B, Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 through 30. Verse 49, the menorah, 4501, that's the big candle holder, of pure gold, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, before the inner sanctuary, with the flowers, 6525, and the lamps, 5216, and the tongs, 4457, of gold. And verse 49, you can reference Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Verse 50, the bowls and the snuffers, 4212, that's to snuff out the candles, the basins, the dishes, 3709, that's unsure, that actually means the cupped palm of the hand. And they use that for a number of things, but it's unsure here. The censers of pure gold, that's where they burned incense in, and the hinges of gold for the doors of the inner house, the Holy of Holies, for the doors of the house of the temple. Verse 51, so was completed all the work that King Shlomo made for the house of Yahweh, and Shlomo brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels he put among the treasures of the house of Yahweh. And verse 51, you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 11, and 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Now, that ends chapter 7. Some of the technical architectural terms used here, the exact meaning has been lost over time. I didn't put any opinions in. I just gave you the Hebrew, because if we don't know, we don't know. And a lot of the Bibles have put in whatever they want, what they think it means. That's not the purpose of this word-for-word study. If we don't know what it means, then we just don't know, and we must say so. The phrasing and word order of this text is rather archaic, and I have anglicized in some sections the word order to make it readable where it's needed. Otherwise, I'd be reading what it says in Hebrew and you say, huh? The purpose of this is to teach what it says. And we're not I'm not speaking the Hebrew language here. I'm speaking English, and I need to make it available for English-speaking people. All of this is technical descriptions of physical construction, and they're not as critical in content as laws or prophecy. So I could modify it and make it more understandable for these construction details, because they are not critical. And next, Shlomo will bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies, and Yahweh will occupy his new house. And that will start in chapter 8. And I will be doing chapter 8 through 10 tomorrow on Wednesday, the 28th. So that is the end of chapter 6 and 7 today. All of this work would later be beaten apart and confiscated by the kings that took Israel into captivity for their apostasy. And this whole magnificent structure and everything in it would be smashed. And they took all the finely cast bronze and all the beautiful things and smashed them up just for the value of the metal. That's all they were interested in. They weren't Yahweh worshipers, and they didn't value these holy objects. Some of them they preserved because they were very beautiful. But the massive bronze structures and constructions, they wanted that bronze because they made shields and swords and spear tips out of it. It was construction metal. It was for weapons of war, etc., etc. So they took that all back to their little kingdoms and melted it down and made other stuff out of it. But a lot of the really beautiful things made out of gold, etc., they preserved and just put it in their treasury. Hey, looky what I got. And they were showing it around, and that would come back on them, showing the objects from the temple of Yahweh. Very disrespectful. And Yahweh doesn't like that. Yahweh doesn't like a lot of things. He doesn't like a lot of things that's going on today. Well, speaking of which, I will be starting a new show on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's just on Thursdays. And the name of the show is Wake Up Call. And I will be sermonizing on current events as per scriptural application. A lot of things are happening that are forecast in Scripture. A lot of things need Scripture reinforcement. So beginning on the 5th of January and every Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be doing my Wake Up Call show. I am dropping off of Yahweh's Covenant People because the pastor that helped Eli start it originally is returning. He said he'd like to start up again. He had a sabbatical, and he wants to return, and I have relinquished my spot. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. We need additional voices and help on EFR, and my workload here is such that I could use Friday evenings off. Be real honest with you. I'm doing 5 of my own word-for-word shows per week. I'm doing Bloodlines on Sunday morning, and now I will do the sermon show, Wake-Up Call, on Thursdays. I'm just trading a spot. We had a vacancy on Thursday, and they've been putting filler shows in, and Eli suggested that I take up that spot because it's going to be in the same vein as Divine Truth Ministries. It's going to be sermonizing and current events as well. Because Pastor Mullett is not feeling well, and he has withdrawn. So I'm going to be taking the spot that he had, and I wish him well. He is a dear friend and a wonderful, wonderful man. And I pray for him. Keep him in your prayers, brothers and sisters. We're really making a dent in the enemy's plans. EFR and the other websites that are truther websites are hitting them hard. And we're exposing so much horrific stuff that they're doing. They're in full panic mode, and I laugh with glee because of this, brothers and sisters. Yahweh is engineering their destruction, which they richly deserve. And we get to watch. So at this point in time, I'm down about less than 3 minutes. And I got to play my favorite song, Onward Christian Soldiers. And I'll probably use that for my wake-up call show, too, because I love that song by Tennessee Ernie Ford. I will talk to you tomorrow on Wednesday when we do 1 Kings 8, 9, and 10. So shalom aleichem to all of you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the